T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Christian Garrick, joined now by Kurt Helan, lead NBA writer, NBCSports.com. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing good. How's it going?
Good. Not a lot going on right now in the association,
not
right?
Nice, I mean, quiet, yeah.
You know,
I think the Raptors got a whole 40 hours to enjoy their championship before the league moved on.
Right? AD sent to the Lakers over the weekend. They got 3 first-round picks, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, along with Brandon Ingram. How do you size up this haul?
You know, I think it has the potential to be win for both sides. I mean, I actually really like the Pelicans' haul in this. In terms of, look, you're getting Zion Williamson. He becomes the knock on wood, the cornerstone guy, the future, you know, the future number one alpha guy that you need. And now you've got some pieces to put around him and see how it fits. Maybe Brandon Ingram doesn't fit with him long term, but you can flip, you know, he's going to get expensive in a year, but you might be able to flip him in a trade because there's a lot of teams that do like what he brings. Lonzo Ball likes to play up tempo, likes to be in space, and, you know, I can picture him throwing lobs to Zion. But again, you can trade him. You can trade the number 4 pick. And more importantly to me, by the way, Josh Hart's just rock solid. You guys will love him down there. But more importantly, all those picks in the future, all those both unprotected and the swaps, give them a lot of leverage to either pick guys to go next to Williamson or, you know, and make some draft picks and keep that roster young and athletic, or be where Boston was, even though they didn't necessarily take great advantage of it the last couple of years. If there's somebody we want, if there's a trade we want to make, we have the assets now to go get in anything. So I think, you know, you've got to manage this thing up. I think that you've got to handle this right. But you got as good a deal as was going to be had. By the way, I think a little better than what was on the table at the deadline. And you set yourself up now for the potential to be very good in, you know, 3, 4, 5 years as these young guys come along.
A texter here just says, the one in February was much better. You're getting short-sighted if you're looking at it that way. Because, again, they wanted Kuzma, Kurt. I get that. The fans wanted Kuzma.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you sacrificed and you got an extra third. I mean, you've got a third first-round pick. And, oh, by the way, the 4th overall pick in this draft. So right now you own the 1 and 4 and 2 future first-round picks.
Future first-round picks after LeBron. I think that's the real key. Like, you have the ability to swap out for, like, 7 years. I'll just say a lot of what people think was on the table at the deadline wasn't completely on the table. Like, it wasn't as cut and dried as people think. And I think it took David Griffin coming in with a kind of, like, he was able to come in with a fresh mindset and not the, you know, understandable from the Pelican side, anger. Like, they got put in a corner. They did not want to send Anthony Davis where he wanted to go. They didn't want to make Rich Paul happy at the deadline. And I get that, but once you step back, this was the best offer on the table. You were not going to do better. It gives you the potential to be a great team in a few years. That's as good as you were going to get. And I think sometimes, you know, you have to think big picture and put your franchise first and not those kind of personal feelings. And I think having David Griffin come in allowed the Pelicans to kind of step back and do that.
Kurt, explain something for me. Clear something up for me. So, officially, this trade can't go through until, what, July 6th or something like that, right? Okay,
right.
So they could not flip Lonzo Ball Thursday night, right?
No.
Could they agree to?
I was just about to say, two things. You can agree to a trade that, you know, much like this one, you could agree that, hey, somebody else wants Lonzo, we can flip that pick and we can flip Lonzo to whoever for, you know, theoretically a pick or whatever. And, you know, Phoenix at the 6, although they don't like Lonzo that much. But you flip them to whoever, and that pick, you know, they draft for you. And then, you know, much like the really awkward thing that's going to happen with, you know, Jared Culver, whoever gets picked number 4, you're just going to feel bad for them because they're going to have to put up a Laker hat. And everybody knows they're either going to be a Pelican or that pick will be traded too. And, he, you know, poor Darius Garland will be wearing a Lakers hat knowing he's going to wherever. So it's a weird little situation and dance that will go on, but you can absolutely agree. And by the way, the Lakers may still throw in a little more if they can they might want to push this thing back till the 30th to give themselves more cap room to chase guys this summer. And that gives the Pelicans even more leverage to say, yeah, we can do that for you, but, and take a little more.
What about the fourth overall pick? Do you think there's going to be a lot of interest from teams, you know, like the Bulls, for example? I think they're sitting at 7. They might want to get up to number 4.
Maybe, but not likely. There's a real sense in this draft that, look, Zion, he's his own tier. He's the potential franchise A1 guy. John Morant and RJ Barrett on most boards are 2 and 3. Everybody pretty much has Ja 2. There's a few teams that aren't really horribly high on RJ, but he's pretty much going to go 3. Once you get to 4 through about 9, it really depends on who you like. It's a real flat draft after this. The tiers flatten out real fast and they get real long. And so it becomes, if you're the Bulls, to use your example, and you absolutely love Darius Garland, maybe you'll move up 3, but you might not have to. And it's just, it's that kind of draft. So I'd be curious to see if they do it and how much they'd be willing to give up. But because it's a flat draft, everybody at 3 on down is trying to trade out of this thing. So, that, you know, simple supply and demand. When everybody wants to trade out, it's a lot harder to get quality back.
Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com. Also at Basketball Talk on Twitter here on Sports Talk, breaking down the AD trade and the fallout thereof. Kurt, who do you think, if the Pelicans stay on the clock at 4, or if they stay with that pick, who do you think they grab?
That's a really good question. I know they're trying to get guys in for workouts now. My sense is actually they wouldn't – look, Darius Garland is probably the highest upside guy. Like, there's a lot of questions, obviously. He played 5 games last year. There's a lot of questions about what he can be exactly. But the potential is there for him to be very good. But you really I don't know that they're going to draft a point guard. If that's the case, and you have Jarrett Culver close, I got a sense they'd go with Jarrett Culver, a 6'6", 2-guard, kind of can shoot the ball, has the potential to be a good defender. You know, we'll see again. But once you get past 2, there's some pretty good flaws in everybody's game. But Jarrett Culver has the potential to be a really nice wing in the NBA for a long time. And if you're going to have Zion in the middle and a point guard throwing him lobs, whether that's Lonzo or whoever, you know, a good wing who can defend and knock down shots is going to have to.
Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. Kurt, when you size up this deal, I know it's not one that you can grade right away because there's future picks involved. But on the surface, if you're trying to pick a winner and loser, I think you have to consider as well the state of the Lakers compared to the state and the mindset of the Pelicans. The Pelicans, with David Griffin, know it's going to be – they have some time here. The Lakers know that they feel like any year – that they have LeBron there and they're not competing for a championship is a wasted year because he's in the twilight of his career. So if you look at it that way, I think you could say, hey, look, it's kind of a win for both sides and the Pelicans with a slight edge perhaps.
Yeah, no, I think I love what the Pelicans did here. I really think it comes down to what these front offices do with what's left. But that said, I think you hit the nail on the head. Look, the Lakers now have 2 of the top 7 players when healthy. Just walk in the face of the earth. I mean, maybe top 5. They're both guys who could end up in MVP voting level good. And that pick and roll, by the way, will be incredibly impressive. Like, and this is who the Lakers are. This is their identity. They go poach stars and figure out the rest. You know, we'll put some guys around them, and they hope those guys turn out to be the Robert Ories and Derek Fishers of the world and not Mark Madsen. So we'll see. You know, I think that's the real question for them. They've got the core pieces of 2 guys who have a contender, but they've got to round out this roster. I think we saw this in the finals, right? Like, it's nice. They're talking about chasing a 3rd guy. It's nice to have those top-heavy, star-heavy rosters, but if you don't have depth, I mean, wasn't that the lesson of the finals? Kawhi Leonard surrounded by Fred VanVleet and Serge Ibaka and, you know, a Danny Green's of the world wins you a title. And the Lakers need to go find, in Danny Green's case, possibly exactly that guy. But they need to go find free agents like that or J.J. Redick or Terrence Ross. They need to put guys around those 2 who can succeed. And let's be honest, the Lakers' roster building over the last couple of years has been less than impressive. So, like, hey, there's a little bit of prove it to me there, but they have the potential.
Kurt, anything I didn't ask about this trade that you want to make sure you point out?
No, not really. I think, like you said, that this is a win-win in a lot of ways. I think the other thing that's just fascinating about this is how it shakes out. we were just talking about the draft and who goes at four and can they flip that pick. But it also shakes out free agency in a weird way. The Lakers are now going big game hunting for a third guy. And it's going to cause guys like Kemba Walker and Jimmy Butler to stop and think for a second, like, hey, do I want to be here? Do I want to be there? Is that a better spot? It could have some long-term ramifications, short-term and long-term, in the NBA this summer. It's a huge wrinkle.
Kurt, got one more for you. Is AD the best superstar teammate that LeBron James has played with in his career?
Ooh. Potentially, yeah, if he can stay on the floor. I think so. I think I don't – look, Pete Kyrie was really, really good. Dwayne Wade was starting to fade a little bit. He could, you know, and you've obviously got Davis going into the prime of his career. I think the other thing, like I mentioned before, he's just a perfect fit. Like, he's just – he can pop out. He can roll. LeBron is the ultimate playmaker. Davis is a really great finisher. If they bother to put some shooting around that this year and some guys who can play a little defense – and by the way, Davis can cover up for the fact that LeBron tries on defense – oh, maybe around the start of the playoffs, maybe even the second round before he really kicks in on that. And, like, they need someone to cover for him. Davis is kind of the best fit he's had as a teammate, and that plus the fact he actually is getting rest this summer makes that a dangerous team.
3-1 odds in Vegas now after this trade for the Lakers.
I don't know if I'd do that.
Yeah. Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer, NBCSports.com. Always a pleasure, man. Thanks.
Anytime. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.